So here's the thing. Forgiveness is hard. Can anyone agree with that? Forgiveness is hard. However, I think there is something that is even harder. And I think it is asking for forgiveness. I think asking for forgiveness just might be a little harder than forgiving ourselves. Not forgiving ourselves, but forgiving ourselves. One of the hardest things to do is admitting that you are wrong. There are some things in life that are easy. You know, different personalities find different things easier than others. But when it comes to other things, it can be extremely hard. Things having to do with our character, or things having to do with behaviors that are destructive. These things are very hard to admit to. These things are very hard to ask forgiveness for. And some of the things we may not even realize that we're doing, but when we come aware of them, when someone makes them known to us, that we have this destructiveness in our life, or that we have this deficiency within our character, what do we do then? Do we admit it, or do we condone? So to recap, we talked about how there is a higher power, how we need Jesus in our life because we are powerless. We need him to come because he is the one who restores and saves. And then last week, Bert shared with you guys a great message on humility. How we are no better or worse than anyone else, but we are also not God. And so we humble ourselves before God, knowing who we are in our stance, knowing who we are to each other, not putting anyone above or anyone below, knowing that we are equal. Well, today we now take the next step, knowing that we're not better, knowing that our actions, though they influence people, it's still important, the relationships. Step five, repent. Ask for forgiveness. So have you ever asked yourself, what does repent mean? Have you asked yourself that? What is it? Well, repent literally means turning away from, okay? So if you're doing something, to repent means to do something else, okay? So it talks about in the Bible, God repenting. Is it God repenting because he's doing something wrong? No, it's because he's doing something else, right? So he goes to do something. Usually it's a conversation with Moses, and he says, okay, I'm going to do something else. So it's that same idea with us. We're doing something, and to repent means that we do something else. Many times we make repentance an action instead of our thinking. The problem is when we just merely make repentance an action, we are treating a symptom instead of a disease. And while it is helpful to treat symptoms in order that we can see the disease, it's important that we actually treat the disease. So if you steal things, don't steal things. That's good, right? But that doesn't stop the disease. The stealing is a symptom of something that is within us. And unless we deal with the disease, we will maybe not steal, but we will find somewhere else to point that and to direct that thing. So, you know, in the context of our first steps, if we do not correct our thinking, if we do not see ourselves who God sees us as, and we don't see God as he is, that means that these truths, these 1, 2, 3, 4 steps that we've talked about, they can't penetrate the core and change us because we haven't allowed it to correct our thinking. We're only applying it to our behaviors. And it's not just about suppressing behaviors. It's not about acting good. Knowing Jesus isn't about being good. Knowing Jesus is about coming fully alive and how he comes and he deals with our hearts and our lives and gives us a full and better life. Jeff Vanderstelt says of repentance, "Repentance is turning away from a wrong view or definition of God, or from a person or thing that you have looked to as God, and turning to the true God and the truth about God as revealed in us." You know, we all have areas of brokenness in our life. We have needs, we have wants, we have manifestations in our life that are not right. Every single one of us. And the reality is that these things affect our relationships. They affect our relationship with others, and they affect our relationship with God. And why do they do that? Because they stop us from being who God created us to be. We compensate in actions that destroy our life, and we end up spreading it around. And not in like a manure kind of way, right? You spread manure around, things grow. But if there's no seeds of truth and goodness in it, your manure is just spread around and it stinks. It just smells like stuff. That smells bad. It smells like stuff, right? We must admit that we have issues. We must admit that we are powerless, that we need God to work, that we need to rely on His strength. We must have humility to approach God and others and say that we need to change. This step isn't just about saying, you know, I have weaknesses in my life. This isn't about self-deprecating comments. Oh, yes, well, I'm weak too. I got my issues too, right? No, this is actually about turning from destruction to life. Turning from destruction to life. Russell Brand says, "The odyssey of recovery begins in earnest when we become willing to truly change, not content to retake the object of our addiction. We become entirely ready for God to remove our defects of character." But for this to happen, for God to remove these defects in our character, we must be willing to submit to God. We must allow Him to prune our lives, you might say. So for our passage today, we're going to look at John, the book of John. And Jesus talks about a tree. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." We must admit that we are powerless in order to remain in the vine. You can't be in the vine and still think that you are the vine. Right? That doesn't work. We see Jesus is telling us here, we are not the roots. We are not the gardener. We are dependent upon Jesus. Jesus is the sustainer, the vine. And the Father comes as the improver, the gardener who snips and cuts and prunes the dead things of our life. All right, so think of trees. Think of trees. How many people have ever seen a tree? Okay, not very many of you. All right, have you seen a tree before, right? Right? Do you know a little bit about trees? A little bit. Trees have root systems, right? They spread out of the ground. Now, forget about the whole idea that they use these roots to feed and for nourishment. But let's say we take the roots away, okay? So we just got the trunk in the ground. How will the tree stand? Right? Like, it can try and, maybe, I don't know if trees move like that, right? It can try and push itself down in the ground a little bit. What happens when the wind blows? It's going right over, right? If the roots are not there, the tree falls over. And is the wind going to blow? Yeah. And let's just say the rain starts to fall. The ground gets all muddy. What's the tree going to do? It's going to, well, it might sink. Maybe it'll sink if it can get itself far enough in the ground. It's eventually going to fall over. It's going to become one with the ground. There's nothing to hold it up. There's nothing to sustain it and keep it alive. We must remain attached to the vine. Attached to Jesus. He's the root system. He's the thing that gives us life. He's the one who is our power and our strength. But unless we admit that we need him, we can never rely on him. We are trying to be a tree without a root system. We need the roots in our life. Following Jesus doesn't mean that there won't be wind, and it doesn't mean that there won't be rain. What it means is that when the wind and the rain come, you have a firm footing to place your feet. You know, our past is not who we are. Our past will not define us. And yes, we were wrong, but we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're a new creation. Though we do things wrong, he comes and he gives us life. F.B. Meyer says, so, backslider, broken heart, contrite spirit, do not look back on last failure and shortcoming, nor stand in dread of recurring sin, but look up and away to the face of Jesus. We must look away from our past. Things that we've done, we must turn away from them, right? Doesn't mean there's not consequences in this life. But Jesus has dealt with the eternal consequences of all our misdeeds. He has dealt with it once and for all. And so as we repent, as we admit that we have wrong in our life, we turn away from it, not turn away to it. We don't turn away from it in our own strength, trying to not do those things. We turn away from it in the power of Christ. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. It's not about repenting back to our misdeed. It's about continually having a repentance posture towards God. It's about repositioning ourselves in Christ. See, when we repent, we allow God, who is the gardener in this metaphor that Jesus tells us, to come and prune our lives. But if we never admit that we have anything wrong in our life, if we never say to God and to others that we need a different way, we reject the pruning. And pruning is not easy. Pruning can hurt, but the dead things must go from our life. I have read about trees before. I think it was last summer. I read this book on trees. My wife made fun of me. It was a really good book. And do you know what? Dead trees, they look dead, but they are not. And they suck life. They take nutrients. Dead branches. They suck life. And it can cause trees to grow in all the wrong directions. They have to be tamed and pruned so they grow the right way so that they can bear fruit properly. C.S. Lewis, he talks about the restoration that the restoration work of God, and he parallels it to the human body. He says, as long as the natural life is in your body, it will do a lot toward repairing that body. Cut it, and up to a point, it will heal. As a dead body will not. All right, so we get that? If you're dead and you cut yourself, you're not going to heal. Okay? Just in case you thought you'd try it. Okay? A live body is not one that never gets hurt, but one that can, to some extent, repair itself. In the same way, a Christian is not a man who never goes wrong. Right? So being Christians isn't about being perfect. It isn't about not making mistakes. But a man who is enabled to repent and pick himself up and begin over again after each stumble. Because the Christ life is inside him, repairing him all the time, enabling him to repeat in some degree the kind of voluntary death that Christ himself carried out. And so continually in our life, there are things that grow that need not grow. There are things in our life that need to die, and God needs to come and prune them from our lives. And as long as we are alive, we need to continue to grow. Here's the thing. Some of us in this room are old, right? Okay, so there's one group. Some of us in this room have been following Jesus a very long time. There's another group. Some of you are both of those. But we won't talk about my parents. Okay. But it doesn't matter which of these three categories you find yourself. It doesn't matter if you're old, you have many years of wisdom. It doesn't matter if you've known Jesus a long time. He's closer than the brother. It doesn't matter if you are old and know Jesus. You are never done growing. A tree, it grows until it's dead. If you want to stop, if a tree stops growing, it's dead. If you want to die, stop growing. But in order for us to grow, we must take away the dead branches. Let's take away the dead branches. A tree never reaches a point where it says, you know what? I don't need to be pruned. It continually reaches higher and further. It wants to bear more fruit in its life. I know for me, I want to bear more fruit in my life. But what does that mean? It means I have to remain in Christ. It means I have to admit my wrongs. It means I have to invite God to come with his shearers, his Ed shearers, he named them that. Or maybe his Cindy Loppers. No? Okay. And cut the dead things from our life. Just cut them off. We need to turn to God and not ourselves. We need to admit wrong thinking. Not actions. Yes, actions need to change. But we must deal with the thinking that leads us to the actions. Is our view of self-worth driving us to compensate some way, right? Whether through material, whether through money, whether through, I don't know, whatever, substances. We compensate for our thinking through physical actions. We need to invite God in to prune that. We must remain in Christ. See, when life is anxious, remain. When addiction pulls, remain. When temptation strikes, remain. When life tries to pull you away, remain in Christ. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And I think life shows us this. Nothing else satisfies. Here's the truth. If we could bear fruit, and I don't mean like, you know, hey, we do something good. I don't know. I'm talking about lasting fruit in our life that changes. We would only need one chicken soup for the soul. There wouldn't be all these chicken soups. We would not need the self-help section, which is the largest grossing section of books in, right? That's the highest number right there, self-help. We would need the TV, self-help TV shows and the podcasts. We would have found the answer. We have 4,000 years of written history. I think at some point, if we could somehow figure out how to bear a lasting fruit in our life, in the last 4,000 years of some of the greatest minds ever, we could have figured it out. But have we? In the words of Bono, we still haven't found what we're looking for. It's only in Christ that we can find lasting fruit. Because he is the giver and the sustainer. Jesus is the one who comes and produces the good thing. He is the vine, the giver of life. He's the one that brings fruit that lasts. We talked about before a boat. A boat with a hole. And so, yeah, we can row harder. Try and get to the shore. Or, I don't know. There we go. Go in the right direction now. It's very hard. But that doesn't do anything with the hole. And we could try and plug the hole ourselves. But we'll probably just make more holes. Trying to do it ourselves. Oh, someone get the drill. God is capable to come and plug the hole. Only God can do it. We must remain in Christ and Christ in us. It means it's time to admit to ourselves and to others that we have messed up. That we have brokenness in our life. We have broken behaviors and we have broken thinking. It's time that we have repentance in our life, asking for forgiveness. This is an essential step for a better life. Because if not, what happens? You just continue the cycle. Continue the cycle in your own life. And we see it in families all the time. The cycle continues because the issues never deal. Well, any cycle that is in your life, that's in your family, it can stop right now. It can stop with you. Taking it before Christ. Allowing Jesus to come. Because a better life means being free. Being free. And who does not want to be free? Jesus says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And he said, I've come. I've come to break the chains of bondage. All right, so what's the point? What's the point? All right, one, admit. We must admit our failures. We must admit our wrong thinking. We must admit our bad behaviors. Two, we need to turn from those things, knowing that those things do not produce life. So in Christ, so turning to Christ as the giver of life. Not the brokenness that we find ourselves in. And then we need to remain. When all world goes to hell in a handbasket. When the things in our mind try and squeeze us dry. when they that voice inside our head says, you need this, you need that to find fulfillment, we remain in Christ alone. Next week, we talk about our next step, and it is living forgiven, all right? So now that we've admitted that, now that we have repented, how do we now live as forgiven people? All right? So that's what we're going to talk about. Let's pray. Lord, change our hearts and our minds this day. We need you. We need you, Lord. We give you our whole lives today. Lord, take all of us. Take all of us. We need you to change our thinking, to change our behaviors, to change the deficiencies in our character. Give us the strength to admit our wrongs. Give us the strength to lean on you, to trust that you are the God who loves us and cares for us, the one who brings us life and life to the fullest. So help us to lean not on our own understanding, on our own root system, one that's weak, one that really doesn't exist, but to trust you, the giver and sustainer of life. Help us to repent, to turn, and turn to you. In your holy name, Father, amen.